All right, we're back at it again. My name is Joe Delicious, your favorite DJ, and I have here Byron, my historian of games and everything about gaming, sure. Video games, not board games, not table games, games. Hello, Byron.
I like board games, table games. I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons and Risk.
Oh, I feel like the first episode that we had that we...
I don't know if I can shit about those things, but I play them. I like them.
Right. Okay, well, today, do you have a game in mind? Have you been playing a game recently, Byron?
Yeah, a new game in the Tales of franchise came out.
Oh, I think Ray was talking about that, right?
Yeah, so I played through that over the weekend.
There was a thing called Fantasia, I think Ray was talking about.
Yeah, Tales of Fantasia was the first one, and then the naming convention, some people just call it Tales, but generally it's known as Tales of, so it's like Tales of...
Right.
Abyss.
And this is T-A-L-E-S.
Yes, not Tails.
Ninetales.
Not like a Tails.
Right,
a fox tail. But
Right. Is Ninetales a Pokemon? Is that why I keep saying it?
Ninetales is a Pokemon. Right. But it's also just like that classic, like...
The whip.
I mean, there is a Kato Ninetales, which is the whip that turned into the like, more whip.
Right.
The whipper. But it's also like just like the Kyuubi is like the Japanese like folklore thing.
What is that?
It's like the fox with nine tails. It's just like it's in a lot of like Japanese
Okay,
mythos.
Okay. I think I've... Alright, yeah. Well, yeah, without getting lost, yeah, I think I'm thinking nine tails because I watched Pokemon when I was a kid.
Yes.
But anyways, tails
it is the evolution of...
A fox. A dog.
It's a fox of some kind.
It turned
into nine tails.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
It's in the Pokemon Red version, not the Pokemon Blue version.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. The game.
Yeah. Because Pokemon had like... There was like, you know, a half dozen Pokemon exclusive to the red version.
Oh,
and then a half dozen version exclusive to the blue version.
I remember. And this is the truth. So... back in high school, Zhang had an emulator. He had the game on a floppy disk, and then he had an emulator, Game Boy emulator.
Sold those.
Yeah, he sold those.
Yeah.
For like $5 or $10, and I bought them and I put on my PC. And then I ran on an emulator, the Pokemon Game Boy game. But I don't remember the blue and red thing had separate Pokemon. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, all of them do. Nintendo, whenever they release a Pokemon game, they have two versions, and they always have slightly different rosters.
Right.
So you either need to trade with a friend, which is bullshit. No one wants to do that.
Right.
Really, they just want people to double dip on the same game. It was really good marketing. It's like, hey, there's 150 of these things. You can catch 142. The rest of them, like, hey, if you want to get them, you got to buy another version or you got to trade.
All right. So there's like only a couple that's missing from one.
Yeah. So you can almost complete your collection, but you can't unless you find a friend. And in those
days, what's the fucking point of this game? It's just to catch them all, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just to fill out your
Because it
collection.
Never ends, right?
No, it does. There is an ending to the game. You beat, like, the Elite Four, and that's basically the ending of the game.
Elite Four what?
Like, trainers. It's called the Elite Four. It's like, hey, Pokemon has a plot. It is, you go through, and you want to
The story.
The
cartoon
Elite Four.
had a
no,
plot.
No, the original game. The story in the cartoon is based on the story from the original game, which is, you are this character, Red, and your rival character is Blue, and you're both going on your journey, and you have to defeat the 8 gym leaders, and they'll give you a badge. And when you have 8 badges, that lets you effectively qualify for, like, the
league. That's the video. Wait. So I did not know this.
That's both the video game and
the cartoon. So the cartoon happened... Oh, sorry, the video game happened before the cartoon.
Yeah.
All right, I did not know that.
Yeah, okay.
Right,
a lot of things where, like, the cartoon was just marketing for the game. Just happened that the
That's
cartoon
very expensive
blew
market.
The
yeah.
Well, it's what it was like. As soon as the law in the U.S. changed, where you were allowed to advertise through cartoons, like the U.S. fucking started doing it. Like He-Man, Transformers, that stuff was illegal for a while. They weren't allowed to make that stuff.
It was illegal to really. I
did
not know this.
It was illegal due to their marketing laws, and then that law changed, and then you got that like. Late 80s, early 70s, early wave of like G.I. Joe, Transformers, all that stuff was marketing for toys. Because the shows don't make money, the toys make money. It's the same with like Star Wars. Star Wars is a massive franchise. It doesn't make money at the movies.
Really?
It does, but it's not consequential money.
Right.
It makes money on merchandising. That's where it makes money.
Right.
That Ghostbusters movie that I came out, the reboot one with the all-female cast that I said was one of the two movies that year that, like, didn't make money, that were released at the... that had a, like, wide theatrical release. That Ghostbusters movie didn't make money. But you know how it did make money? Merchandising. Not by merchandising that movie, but because it got the Ghostbusters name in people's head, they re-merchandised the old Ghostbusters movie and put out, like, your Slimer mugs and stuff like that.
Really?
And so they made the money back that they lost on the merchandising of the old movie.
That is very interesting. You know, over the weekend, I was reading about the history of... okay, just on Wikipedia, of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, that's that's an interesting history.
Yeah, because apparently Sony, which is Columbia Pictures, they bought the rights to it from Marvel. Yeah,
when Marvel was... So, like, the current situation's weird because Sony make bad movies, kind of generically. They're not very good at making movies, I think. They miss a lot more than they hit. So, like when they had their shot at Spider-Man...
Mm.
The original ones, the Sam Raimi movies, were pretty good.
What's the Sam Raimi movies?
Sam Raimi, you know, with Tobey Maguire?
Oh!
Those ones? Those were Sam Raimi. The guy who did, like, Evil Dead. That was it.
Oh, I don't know. Evil Dead sounds like a game to me.
No, Evil Dead was a... You don't know Evil Dead? Speaking of movies, you made a comment saying Steven Spielberg did Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I think he was a producer, but he formed Amblin Entertainment.
Yeah, he was Amblin with, like, Kathleen Kennedy and... somebody else, I can't remember. Kennedy's person running
Star Wars. I don't know whether he made it or not.
No, Robert Zemeckis made it. The guy who made Back to the Future, like Tom Hanks.
That's always
I know him from. Back to the Future, Tom Hanks, Robert Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
Yes. Great movie.
To all the non-listeners out there, I fucked up.
I just... People call me pedantic because I correct people, but generally when I make a mistake, I want people to correct me so that I stop making the mistake, which is a perspective that has, you know, gotten me called out of my bullshit a lot of times. Yes. But I like to be corrected.
I will beat you with a cane.
Get a cat
on nine. All right. So, while I was reading about the Spider-Man deal, it was bouncing back and forth between Marvel wanting to buy its property back and then Sony not wanting to buy back but then selling it to Marvel. But now the situation, as I understand it today, it's that Sony still has the rights, or has the rights to the Spider-Man franchise, but does not have the
movie
rights.
Specifically the movie rights.
Does not have the rights to the merchandising.
That's how they worked out their deal.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Which, so Sony was in a hard spot there because, do you know how the movie rights with Marvel work?
No, I have no idea.
They're pretty generic, but Sony don't just have the movie rights permanently. If they don't make a Spider-Man movie every, like, there needs to be a Spider-Man movie in production every 4 years or something that.
Yeah.
That's how all of their stuff works. So, like, there was, like, that Daredevil movie ages ago, like, with Ben Affleck, and that movie didn't hit. So when that time frame came back up again, they just let the movie lapse and it went back to Marvel. An interesting one, right? You know the Fantastic Four movie with Chris Evans and Jessica Alba?
I thought that was a very good movie.
Right. So people who made that, Fox, they had the rights to that movie before that, but they didn't want to make the movie. So they actually made a movie.
But never showed it, is it?
And never released it.
Yeah. So Zane, Chris, and I, we actually know someone. I guess I know him the best. Who have you heard of the book called The Wheel of Time?
Yeah. I'm reading it at the moment.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So we actually know.
Which is, if you know how long the Wheel of Time is, that's a process.
Yeah. So we know the guy that bought it off, the guy that wrote it. I forgot what his name is.
Robert Jordan?
Yes, correct. Name? Correct. He runs, well, we won't say on this, but so he had to make a film and it had the bad guy in Titanic, who was also like the purple man.
Who was the bad guy? I was about to say Billy Zane, but it's not Billy Zane.
It is Billy Zane. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and he was bold in the purple film, I think. Yeah, it is Billy Phantom? Zane. Yeah, The Phantom, yeah. Sorry.
That's a fun, dumb movie.
Yeah, but. I like The Phantom. No, he is the bad guy in the Titanic. What the fuck are you on about?
I was going to say, I couldn't remember.
Oh, yes, there's another bad guy. His henchman. But right, Billy Zane is like, yeah, he's the boss of the bad guy. That's right, true, okay. Yeah. So Billy Zane actually was in... what was the thing I was talking about?
The Phantom?
No. Huck, the book. The book that you're reading now.
Wheel of Time.
Oh, Wheel of Time. Sorry, yes. Yes. So Billy Zane was actually in a film called The Wheel of Time. And he was in it, but it was never shown. By American law, by the contract that was drafted, that film just had to be shown in a cinema. So it was just shown in one cinema.
Yeah, okay.
And that's how he retained his rights. But anyway, he sold it to Amazon. So Amazon right now.
Yeah, Amazon's making a TV show, which I think is coming out soon. I think. Pretty soon. I'm not sure when exactly, but
yeah,
I've heard it's on the horizon. I'm not going to finish the series before that thing starts.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, without going too much in detail, I do understand. Yeah. This idea that, yeah, you have to make a show, otherwise you lose your rights.
It makes sense.
Mm.
It's a good way to do it, I think, to make sure that their property is not just, like, sitting there and like, not earning value.
Yeah.
Like, but this they is what can't happened, merchandise right? So, it if they're not making a movie.
Well, this is what happened, which is this Billy Zane movie was never shown to anyone.
Yeah.
They just did what it said. Like, they followed the letter of the law without following the spirit of the contract.
Yeah, that's basically. Not showing movies is a current hot topic in Hollywood because they're making movies.
Right.
It's because in a lot of actors' clause they get like back end deals, mm-hmm. Like bonuses if the movie makes a certain amount of money in theaters. Yeah. So like Scarlett Johansson, suing Disney because her movie did not make money in theaters because it was not released in theaters.
No, it did make money in theaters, but you could have made more. That's what's the argument. But like $200 million more.
Yeah, but they released it on Disney Plus at the same time as theaters. So this is not a great contract.
Yeah.
In kind of the current circumstances.
But, you know, so many... Her interest may have removed so many... A lot of people's ability to watch that thing, right?
What do you mean?
Well, because a lot of people are in lockdown and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But Hollywood is, like, the contracts just weren't negotiated with that in mind. It's a bit dishonest of Disney to take the stance that, like, well, it didn't make the money in theaters.
All right.
And it's totally reasonable that she's suing them over that.
Oh, is it? Oh, I did not know that. Okay, if she didn't envisage it, then it's fine. I thought that was probably, like... Yeah.
It's like, people are still figuring out how to release movies right now.
Yeah.
Like... That didn't work with Black Widow. So, like, Shang-Chi, the recent one.
Yeah.
Ray, actually, he wanted to watch it in the office. And I was like, oh, we can't. They're not releasing it at the same time on Disney Plus with this one because it didn't work very well for Black Widow. So they're, like, giving it a limited theatrical run and then, like, 45 days later, they're going to release it on Disney Plus and they're trying to figure it out. Everyone's trying to figure it out. And a lot of directors are also...
But surely it's only New South Wales that needs to be on Disney Plus, right? Because in Western Australia, for example, anyone can go to the cinemas.
I mean, if you can see it in the cinemas, you can see it in the cinemas.
Oh, really? So even right now it's in the cinemas?
Not yet. It's globally, it was released in the cinemas.
Right.
Whether or
not
you can, in your area you live in, see it in a cinema is up to what your current circumstances are. In New South Wales, we absolutely cannot.
Right. No, that's super interesting. Yeah. So that's what I understand about merchandising, which is in regards to Spider-Man, you're right, it makes a lot of money. So coming back to the Tales of, what is it, Fantasia or Tales of what that you're playing?
Tales of Arise is the one that just came out.
Arise, A-R-I-S-E.
Yes.
Right. All right. So now we're getting back to the crux of what this podcast is about.
Right.
What is Tales of Arise, Byron?
Not very good.
Oh, fuck.
So...
What is the story about?
My interest in the... I'll give you my backstory on the Tales franchise.
Well, you give me the stars first. How many out of five?
It's probably like a 3.
Fuck.
It's like, it's not terrible.
Right.
Like, but it's not like...
But is this like a Metacritic transport? Like, in other words, the 6 out of 10?
Well, if it's a 3, it would be like a 60.
So it pretty much doesn't pass the mark.
If like 5 is an average movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's really, if we're rating on stars, it's really bouncing between like 3 and 2. But I'm probably actually going to say 2.
But on Metacritic, it'll be like a 7 out of 10.
On Metacritic, I believe it's like 75 or 80.
All right, fuck. Okay. Right.
I'm against the grain. People seem largely positive on the game.
Yeah.
I think people are dumb.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot of problems.
Right.
Like, the Tales of game, they're very, very anime games. And right. I'm not really into anime.
Okay, so has any of Tales series yes. you've given, like, you will give a decent
sign? I think there's the reason I care about this franchise is right. because of one specific game. Everyone usually has, like, their favorite Tales of game.
Right.
The people that like it, they're like, oh, I like this one, I like that one. It's usually a selection of, like, 3 or 4. Like, Abyss, Symphonia, Vesperia. And the one I like is Vesperia. I think it's, like, an extremely well-made, like, JRPG with, like, good characters, good writing. Everyone has, like, good arcs. It's really well-paced, which is really hard to do with, like, a 90-hour fucking game.
90-hour game.
Yeah, there's lots of, like, side activities. The reason Vesperia was the one that they... Because it's very Japanese, and it's
kind of... Is this a Japanese series?
Yeah. Right. It's Japanese made, and it's they release them in the West, but they don't do amazingly well, but it's enough that it's worth the effort to release them. But Vesperia was an Xbox 360 exclusive. And they made it an Xbox 360 exclusive, a Microsoft exclusive, in Japan, which is a land dominated by Sony and Nintendo, because Microsoft was trying to break into the Japanese audience.
Understood.
And securing this as an exclusive was a good way to do that. They wanted a Japanese RPG on their Xbox in the West as well, because they Japanese publishers and developers were not making games for their system.
Yes.
So they also gave that game a lot of budget. More budget than that franchise had ever seen before, or probably since. It's just like, it's there's a massive... The games look really cheap. Like, that doesn't hurt the writing a lot of the time. It doesn't hurt necessarily what they're trying to do, but there's a cheapness to the whole experience.
It's intended, like, or not intended?
Not intended. It's right. like you go into areas in like the games before and after Vesperia, and they look cheap. It's like, it's empty hallways, it's just art that isn't particularly appealing. They try and get around it by spending a lot of money on making the character designs look right. So they make the characters look good. So the models are good, but then the environments and everything else just doesn't look good. It's all like very boxy and bland. So Vesperia was like their initial pitch into the West, where they spent a ton of money, they made it look good, and they put all the fucking bells and whistles into it. And it didn't really work. Arise is like, you know, 15 years later, and they're trying that again. They're going all out with the graphics and the presentation and making it look good.
But yet you feel like it didn't do a very good job.
Yeah, because I don't care. It's nice that the game looks really good. And it does look really good. It's a really, like, impressive-looking mm-hmm. game, especially for, like, these kind of Japanese games. Japanese games just don't have the budget that Western games have, so they often skimp on the graphics. But they have not here, except for like Square Enix and like Final Fantasy games. Those games always look amazing. Like Final Fantasy VII just got a remake, and it's like, it's incredible looking. And this isn't quite that, but it's pretty good. It's really good.
I didn't know you can remake a Final Fantasy VII where you have like a 14 or whatever, and then call it Final Fantasy VII again.
They just call it Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh fuck! All right.
Like, well, 14's a weird one because it's ongoing. Like, right. they were still putting out... Final Fantasy XI was also an online game.
Right.
And, like, 12 came out while they were still putting out content for 11.
And you can do this because they're all independent stories.
Yeah. They don't really matter. If anything, it helps because it keeps the brand in relevance. And then when, like, Final Fantasy 15 came out, there was an event that crossed over into Final Fantasy 14. So, like, the characters from 14 showed up in... one of the characters from 14 showed up in 15, and then a couple of the characters from 15 showed up in 14, and you get like there's a car that you drive around in 15. Mm-hmm. It's like a road trip kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about going on a road trip with your buddies, so they let you like get the car in 14 and drive around in the car.
Can I ask you, is the Tales of Phantasia, are they independent stories, or do they have like Tales of Phantasia, the Tales series?
Yes, the Tales of games are also independent like Final Fantasy.
So they sort of compete with Final Fantasy then?
Yeah. The same with like Dragon Quest, although Dragon Quest actually does have a bit more of an interconnected nature.
Right, right, right.
Like the first three games are, they're like divorced, but they have the same world, effectively. Sometimes. But Dragon Quest, a bit more loose with it.
So coming back to Tales, so what is Tales of arise? What is the story?
The story is interesting in its broad...
Because I don't know anything about it.
Right, so it's...
End of this.
You're like... You are a slave. It basically intros you with a text crawl that says, like, there's two planets, and at a certain point, like, you've got your planet, which is, like, this fantasy world, and then at a certain point, the other planet has developed technology good enough to travel to you. So they're obviously way more advanced tech, and they just...
Right.
They just absolutely annihilate your civilization, take complete control of every aspect of your life, and enslave your entire population. And so the game's story is effectively you play as like a slave and you are trying to start a rebellion. And you are, and there's basically five like lords that manage it, because they don't have numbers, they have technology. So there's only a few of these people around. So if you take out these people that are kind of holding the key positions, the game's premise is just go kill these four or these five people and take back our planet. That's like the initial kind of get-go thing. It's a, it gets more complicated.
Why do they want your planet? Why are they saving you? Because they have resources or what?
Yeah, basically. It's, they're basically using you for labor. It's not clear. Like,
but then the point, if you
at the point where
take
you,
out the five dudes, they're just going to come back and kick your ass
again. That's another point as well. It's like, what are you going to do after you kill that person? It's like, they're going to respond to that. We don't know how they're going to respond. So once you've done that, kill those five guys, the game is not over. There's, you're probably like 70% of the way through the game at that point. And then there's like, well, now we've got to have to deal with how are they going to respond to us, like pushing them out of our territory. And they do respond to that, and then it's about dealing with that response. But like by the time that that occupation happened, like 300 years ago, so your entire population has been enslaved and beaten down and working in like horrible conditions for like 300 years. So the idea is that people are just so crushed and defeated that nobody actually wants to rebel at this point. Like it's just like, this is just how you get killed. There's not really much rebellion at all because it's difficult to get people to do it. Like they're, everyone's deprived of food. Nobody has any energy to do anything.
And like, why is it that you have the energy then?
You're sort of an anomaly. You've basically got an unremovable mask, like a helmet on your head. That's who you are. You don't even know your name. And you know that you woke up like a year ago and you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Sounds like a pretty deep...
The point. It's like, it's going for some stuff. It's going for, like, deep themes. There's a lot of themes of, like, prejudice and, like, segregation. And it's dealing with all of these issues.
And it's an anime.
Yeah.
Is it alright if I search it up? Just to see what it looks like? Because it sounds like a very deep... Like, I've never looked up games.
It looks like an anime game.
But yet it's super deep, is it? Oh, okay, no. I can... Tales of Arise.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. This anime that's super deep, like Neon Genesis.
Okay, I don't really like Neon Genesis, but sure.
All right.
Neon Genesis is very, very important to anime history. But I think that Neon Genesis is really similar to Tales of Arise.
Oh, holy shit. They got tits and shit. All right. Yeah, I can see the appeal. Are you a girl or are you a guy?
You're this guy here. But you can control anyone.
Yeah, so for the non-listeners...
You're a dude with a sword.
Yeah. You're a dude with a sword, but I clicked on images in Google, and half the fucking images has, like, a girl with no skirt. Or... Potentially you had a skirt ripped out.
It's like a high skirt at the front, and then it's got, like, coattails almost.
Yeah. Man, that's a little bit distracting. Oh yeah, your dude has a mask over his right eye.
Yeah. The mask breaks early into the game, and that's where you can like remember, oh, I remember my name now, so that they don't have to keep calling you Iron Mask. So they can say, okay, I remember my name, it's Alphen, and you can be Alphen for the rest of the game.
Right, and what does Alphen... Okay, to those that listen, to all the non-listeners, I'm looking at pictures of the game. So you meet a bunch of friends by the looks of it.
Yep.
And they all have different powers and shit. Is it? I'm guessing. That help you along your journey.
Yeah, pretty much. They all have their different little stories as to why they're coming along with you. Why, like, everyone has their own
reasons. And are their stories compelling?
No. I don't think any of the characters are particularly compelling. I think... Yeah, no, not really. I don't think I liked a single character in the game. I would say most of the characters I actively disliked.
And is that part of the reason why, you know, you're dropping the stars? To like...
Yeah, it's like in a game which is heavily focused on story and mm-hmm. characters, mm-hmm. you probably should make sure that... I heard somebody, I was watching listening to a review earlier, and he said one of the characters, one of the girls in it...
Is it this girl? Because there's only one girl.
No, there's two girls there.
Right.
There's three, actually. There's six characters, three boys, three girls. But he said one of the characters was irritating to the point where it was like getting a hand job with sandpaper. And it's like, yeah, that accurately describes kind of my feeling on like this one character as well.
Really?
Yeah, the premise of... So like that character in particular is like...
This one?
No.
This one?
I think a lot... No, she's fine. I think that... Okay, he's pointing at characters, but he's talking about the girl with the shield, which is Kassara.
This one?
Yeah. She's fine. She's, I think, the most acceptable character in the game.
Yeah, not not sandpaper hand job.
No, there's a little mage girl. And the mage girl is like, she's the like...
Oh my god, someone's got to hunt us down, man.
Yeah. She's the like prejudiced one in the group.
Right.
That's always like, so like the girl with the pink hair. Yeah, she's one of the people from the other planet that was controlling your people.
Oh, right. So the people look the same.
Yes, that's one of the other points in the game. People will talk to her and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're traveling with a Renan. That's the people. Like, Renna is the other planet. Uh-huh, you're on Dana. So you have Danans and Renans.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you're traveling with a Renan. Like, you've got two people in your group that are Renan. We can't trust you. And you're like...
How do we tell?
There's no identifying features. Yeah. Like, it's not like... Like, your character... Like, she has really white skin.
Yeah.
But your character is a little bit tanned.
Yeah.
And then there's another Renan character who has the darkest skin in the game. So it's not skin color.
Yeah. So no one fucking understands biology and evolution this Tales series.
So nobody on...
Two fucking planets. How could they fucking independently evolve from tadpoles... Well, girls with skirt.
They can grow like different rates. But the other part is that the Renan, the occupying force, they have magic as well as technology. And your planet does not have magic. So they have
Your planet has technology.
No, you have none. You were like they were like several steps ahead of you.
Right.
In the like the evolutionary chain.
Right.
And like you originally it's revealed that your planet did have magic, but it wasn't very widespread. And when they came, they just immediately targeted all the magic users and fucking annihilated them. So nobody on your planet knows magic anymore.
Right. So it's sort of like Star Wars and all the guys that has the Force is eliminated.
Yeah.
Right.
Sort of like that.
Why is this chick on your side?
She's basically cursed and her like, spoilers, whatever.
She's
trying to remove, she has this curse where anyone that touches her just feels immense pain. Like unbearable pain, so nobody can ever get near her.
Like sandpaper hand job.
Yeah, but that's actually not who he's referring to.
Okay,
but like people touch her and like have like are sent flying across the room. It's unbearable pain. But she's trying to
wait. Is this game for fucking like 18-year-olds and above? Or like
that's anyone... my point. It's like that Tales of Vesperia told a really good story with good characters all around.
Yeah.
It's like some of the characters in Vesperia.
Yeah.
I think Vesperia is one of the best Japanese games ever made.
Yeah. Right.
It's real fucking good.
Like, yeah.
They nailed it.
And did they have a character where like that's part where like if you touch them they're gonna fly?
So the thing, I was talking to my brother about this because I was complaining about it.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff in it which is good. So your character can't feel pain, and it's not really clear why he can't feel pain, but he can't feel pain. So, and then you've got,
so let me guess, he touches her at the end.
No. But there is like a romance between them. It's like
it's just asking, sorry, you finish. I'm like,
so her thing is that she can summon a sword made of basically pure magma and fire.
Right.
Will just like incinerate your hand down to like you know, it just melts the flesh from your hand.
Right.
But he can't feel pain, so he can use it briefly.
Yes.
And it injures him, but he can't feel it, so it's okay. Yes. And she's also a healer, so she can heal it.
Understood now.
Stuff like that is like, that stuff's okay.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
It's like, that's interesting.
It's quite romantic.
Yeah, it's interesting. But then you get to, she has this, you know, uncontrollable, I cause people pain, and he can't feel pain, and she doesn't cause physical damage to people.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really Twilight. If you know nothing about Twilight...
No.
Twilight is the main vampire. Edward can read people's minds, but he can't read the leading girl's Bella's.
Right.
It's like, it's that. And it's...
Yeah, it's just inviting... Like, everyone knows what the story is about already.
Yes.
Right? I don't know anything about this game, but if you have a fucking girl that's hot, that fucking doesn't have, like, 3/4 of a skirt, and you go, hey, if you try and touch her... you're going to be in pain. What do you think everyone is going to try and do? Or think of doing? It's like, that's how human nature works. You create a character, you create a story, and you can say, and you say, hey, you know, you can't touch this, or you can't think about this. That's just, you know, what do you think the players are going to do? What do you think the world is about? Like, she become, like, hey guys, all the non-listeners out there,
I
am not part of the patriarchy. I'm merely pointing out the fact that if you have a girl like this, what do you think is going to happen? You know, she's just asking for her to be touched.
Oh boy, yeah. Look at what she's wearing. She's asking for it.
Yes, that's not, yeah. Like, she's asking for it. No! But like, if you create a character like that, it's like, but I'm not creating a patriarchy. This game is creating a patriarchy.
She's generally perceived to not be attractive. Because,
all right.
Not because of how she's drawn, but it's like, this is the occupying enemy. Most people do not want to have any kind of interest in this person whatsoever.
Well, you know what? I have a dearth of like hot anime characters in my, you know, in my binder. So when I open the fucking internet and see nothing but legs and tits, what do you think's going on?
Yeah, one of the faults of the game. I think it's a really big fault.
It's not even totally unrealistic. If you look at, if she was like in front of me live, like in real life, it's the most ugliest, like,
you don't like person imaginable. Hair?
No, the proportions doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's anime, though.
Yeah, the head, none of it fucking makes
sense. It's anime. It's like, everyone's legs are too long. They're not trying to be realistic. But you can tell a good story without realistic character proportions. I like Final Fantasy IX. I think that's a great story with characters. And those proportions, like, everyone is chibi. Like, no one looks realistic.
Everyone's what?
Short and cute.
Right.
If you look up, like, Final Fantasy IX, everyone looks like they're 4 foot and round. It's like, it was a PlayStation era game, and they tried going realistic with like Final Fantasy 7 and 8, and then they're like, let's try going back to like, let's try and interpret what those NES sprites looked like that were like, you know, 7 pixels high, and let's turn that into a 3D model.
Yeah, that may have helped. But anyways, I don't look at a lot of, I don't look at any, and I see this. Raises questions.
What questions?
In my mind, it is like, well, first when I looked at that, I was like, that girl in pink, that's a good looking girl. Why is she there? Then the second thing I see is there's a bunch of people that is standing with her, and she's like the only girl. The top left image is.
There's 3 girls. There's 2 others there. Chick with the armors in the
back.
Oh,
shit, shit, okay.
And the chick on the right. Left, right, and middle.
Oh, yeah. That is true. And straight away I'm going, okay, this must be like some love story.
No, it is a love story.
And it must be, like, in my opinion, something... Well, I didn't know. I just thought it must be something, like some tension. I don't know anything about it. Oh, I saw this image. And I go, okay, so these two must be
the leading characters.
Right. Is that the same girl? Well, there you go. You can't touch her.
Yeah, that's the crux of the story. Because, like, what do you mean?
What do you mean that's the crux of the story?
Like, that's like...
That's what we think is the crux of the story. As soon as you say, like, you know, this girl can't touch. But she has nothing to do with the story, right?
No, she does. She's integral to the story.
Oh, right.
Like, the other character... Your main character...
Yep.
And her...
Yep.
Are really the only people that are, like... supposed to be there in, like, the story. There are people that, like, they have an objective from...
So technically both of them are the main protagonists.
Yeah, it is the guy is kind of the
leading But you play person. The guy.
You play as anyone you want. I played as the girl with the shield.
Oh, shit, sorry. I thought you can only play as the...
No, the Tales games let you... They give you the party members, and they will play a little bit differently. So, like, the girl on the right, the mage girl, the sandpaper hand job, she's, like, a mage, and she sits there casting spells, which plays very differently to the guy swinging his sword.
Which is a sandpaper hand job, this one?
No. Her.
Yeah, okay.
She's the insufferable one.
Why?
That's Rinwell. She's the mage. She's the one that has the prejudice against, like, the occupying race. The problem is that everyone else gets over this pretty quickly.
Whereas, but why would they not have a prejudice?
Well, that's the point. It's like, it's justified, but then you're quickly introduced to this leading lady, Shion.
Right.
And you're introduced to this, and she's a Renan, and she's, like, trying to help you. She's trying to overthrow these lords. She's a bit frosty, but the...
Yeah, because she got thrown out by her society, right? By her, you know, fellow friends. If they didn't throw her out, she'll probably be your enemy.
Okay, and the guy with the dark skin and red hair...
Man, he looks like a chick as well.
Yeah, he does a bit. Well, he's wearing a robe. But,
right.
But that guy is one of the lords, and ends up... Because his goal in... When you get to, like, the third area, he'd, like, actually kind of mixed the people together and, like, had good working conditions, and the people were still technically slaves, but they were also getting paid, and he was trying to make society better, and so he basically joins to help you. But she's also, like, frosty with him, even though she's seen all the, like, good things that this character's done. And she's with you, and you've been through, like, thick and thin with these, you know, Renan people.
Right.
And she's giving them shit for, like, 50 hours. She's, like, constantly distrusting them, and it just grates.
How does this game end?
Badly. Off a cliff is how I would describe the ending. It's like, the game was steady but average, and then it starts going downhill, and then you defeat the five lords, and realize there's a chunk of game to go, and that's where it goes off a cliff.
What do you mean? So
it's just like the storytelling. It's like the story itself, specifically. It's like, that's when you're in this fantasy world, and you've been trying to overthrow these people, and after that, now you have a spaceship, and you're going to a satellite, and then you're going to the other planet, and you're waging war with them. It's like... The ending, you want, like, some fucking, it's a romance thing, the ending, like, cinematic is, like, the girl is, like, captured.
The pink girl?
Yeah, and you have that sword, your, like, fire sword that she has, like, control over, and, like, her, like, curse, her, like, thorns is going, like, out of control and trying to destroy the world.
And, what do you mean, her thorns?
That's just what they call the curse. The
so something is touching her, and so now she's destroying the world.
It's convoluted.
Okay.
It gets too convoluted.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, but the ending image is, like, him taking his sword, and, like, a flower opens on her chest, and he thrusts his sword into her flower. The flaming sword. I'm like, this isn't exactly Soul. The storytelling's pretty
holy
fucking...
fuck! I could have predicted that from a mile away.
Yeah, it's like, it gets pretty, like, blunt with that.
And what happens?
You save the world and do that, and she's fine.
Right.
It's just like, it's...
So why did she do that at the beginning?
You couldn't. It was like, it's convoluted.
Okay.
I'm skipping a lot. I'm skipping, you know, 80-something hours to get to that point.
Yeah, alright. So finally they go on their date.
Yeah, there's a point where the mage character, on, like, the fourth lord that you have to fight, like, the fourth person, where it's revealed that, like, this mage character, the reason she's been so salty against all of the Renans in your party, and just Renans in general, the reason she's been, like, such a bitch all of the time, the reason she's been insufferable is because this fourth lord, she killed her parents. And it's like, all right, okay. I understand why that's a bit of a problem, why you maybe wouldn't want to bring that up. But also, in the second lord, there's another character there, like, the other, like, boy character, like, kind of, like, youngish character like her. Like, her parents were killed when she was a kid. His father is literally killed in front of him. He's stabbed in the back by the second lord.
Right. I'm getting a little bit lost, but I
it's complicated. There's a lot going on, but it's like you have a party member whose father was killed, his mother was already dead, and his father was killed in front of him. And he fucking, like, he kills that lord. And he uppercuts him into the fucking stratosphere.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, done that.
Yeah.
And then she was like withholding this information, which is probably valuable information to know, like, what this fourth lord is, who they are, what kind of
because
stuff
she
they
knows
can
them.
Yeah, she knows them.
They killed her parents.
Yeah, and so as soon as you meet her, she flies into an uncontrollable rage, and like he tries to stop her from killing this person, and it's just like there's a lot of
so these emotionally unstable juvenile characters are banded together to save the world.
No, I think she's the only one that gets particularly emotionally unstable, and probably only in that moment. Most people are actually pretty
calm throughout the game,
but like that moment there is just like completely forced. It's just like it's a bit of like bad writing to the point where they have to, the writing's so bad as to why she didn't talk about her parents being killed by this person that later on they have to lampshade like that specific event to try and justify why.
And do they die off? Because you say
it's a JRPG.
So none of them die off.
Nah, it's a JRPG.
What does that mean?
It's Japanese games don't like killing characters.
Oh,
that would mean that your game has to have stakes, and they don't like Japanese games play.
So only your enemy dies. None of your own team members die.
Nobody in your party dies.
So okay, so I think I know what the story is. And tell me, is this the same story structure or story arc across all Tales, by the way?
No, not really.
Right.
Like, the story is ultimately that this other planet that you're, like, that these people are invading from doesn't actually exist. It's like, an empty husk world that's, like, dead. It's a dead planet. And it's actually
this story or other stories?
This story. And it's, like, so when you go there, it's, like, a dead planet. There's nothing there. It's, like, it's not even a full planet. It's, like, just the front of a planet.
That is so interesting.
And then it's actually, like, the spirit of the planet itself is, like, trying to destroy your world because like they were never meant to be separate, so it's just pulling like the like
so
life
in other
force
words there's only
planet.
So there's actually so the people you killed are actually almost the last people left of that
no planet. The people you killed the whole time were not even Renans. Renans don't exist. Renans are actually just Danans.
Oh, so at the end of the day they're the same people.
Yeah,
that's why they looked the same.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They look the issue with them looking the same is that in the story and in the narrative, there's many, many moments where they immediately identify these two characters as Renan.
Even though they don't look any different.
Yeah, even though they look the same. So it's like, it's not they look the same because they're originally Danan. They just got pulled up. It's like the original Renan people are like some weird alien race that basically died off. And like they didn't have enough people. So they went to this planet, pulled a bunch of people up, and then, like, genetically modified them a bit and said, you're Renans. And just used them for labor. But then, like, that old alien race kind of died away and you were just left with these people that thought they were different that actually aren't really different.
But are genetically modified.
It's never... It says they altered them.
Yeah.
But it's not clear what they did. Because...
Okay, why would the original Renans do that?
Because their planet was dying and they just needed... Like, they needed laborers. They needed people to do things. They were very technologically advanced, but they still needed people to maintain that technology, and they didn't have it.
But then how did they die out?
Like, because they didn't have enough people. Like, by the time they did this, the species was extinct.
Okay.
Like, they hadn't actually hit the extinction point yet.
Okay.
Like, they didn't have enough to reproduce.
So, this is my understanding of the story. Long, long, long time ago, in a far distant universe.
Mm-hmm. Also, your character is 300 years old.
All of them?
No, your character. The main guy.
Even though you can play any of the characters?
You can play any of the characters, but he's the main character.
Right, the main guy. There it is. So a long, long time ago in a far, far, flung, distant galaxy.
Sure.
There were two... Yeah,
No, that was intellectually distinct. That was legally distinct.
Yeah. And there were two planets, and one was called, let's just call planet A, and another was called B. I forgot what they were. Arda and Dada or some shit?
Rena and Dana.
Oh, Rena and Dana.
Rena.
And Rena was technologically advanced, and they were made, we don't know who occupied them. They may have been some type of cyborg or robots. And anyways, for some reason,
they were just people.
Oh, they were just people.
Oh, you mean like the original Renans?
Like the
alien race.
Yeah, the alien race.
Yeah, they were like weird alien.
Right. People. And they were technically sophisticated, and it is unclear what happened, but in the distant past, they occupied Dandan.
Dana.
Okay.
Yes.
And Dana was a planet that had people looking like people.
Yeah.
Had people. Aliens humans. That looked like people.
They had humans.
Yeah. And then Rena aliens, the advanced ones, for whatever reason, it's unclear in the story, they colonized Dana and its peoples.
They didn't colonize them.
They did not colonize them.
No. The Renans, the Danans, yes, that thought they were Renans colonized them. It's complicated. Like, it would take multiple hours to explain all of the beats.
I can't understand. No. I can get it. So the Danans, as time went on, two classes of Danans emerged. One class of Danans, for some reason, think their past is not shared with the other.
Yes. Well, they both think that, actually.
And one Danan essentially thought that they are their ancestors, or they are the legacies of these ancient, sophisticated aliens.
No, they don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Then how did this class come about? Where, like, one is more powerful than the other. One has magic, and weapons, like, while the other doesn't.
So it goes back into prehistory for the world before the game even starts going back in. You have to use some kind of logical leaps of how it would have happened, because the game doesn't get into specifics. But
trust me, I'm leaping logically all over the place already.
You're leaping. I don't know, logically.
What
would have happened was this planet was dying.
Yes, yes.
And everyone on that planet is basically, because that planet...
Renan's dying.
Yeah, the planet are two kind of...
Yes.
Distinct in how they operate.
Yes, yes.
It's basically each planet has a life force.
Yes, okay.
So the Danan planet that the humans exist on, that life force is spread out amongst its people on the surface.
Right.
So it never kind of... it never gathers at any one specific point to where it can have a will. The other planet is different,
mm-hmm.
where the planet... energy, effectively, its mm-hmm. life force is centralized, so the planet actually has a will.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
has this primordial kind of great spirit that can actually think and do things.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
it has this,
mm-hmm.
everyone on its planet gets enslaved to its will. Like, they have no control, so they just do what that planet wants.
Yeah, like, that planet's like an ant colony.
Yes.
And they all sort of have this telepathic thing, and they're mind-controlled by some invisible queen bee.
Sure.
Mm.
But... because, like, the planet is not supposed to operate like that. It mm-hmm. is not sustainable, but it doesn't know anything else, because the planet has, like, a will, but it's not really in control of it. It's not exactly sentient. It's just kind of acting on instinct that is, I am hungry, will feed, and it's feeding on the planet itself. But it's smart enough to know that this isn't going to work. We need to do something else.
No, so that's great.
So it sends that alien race.
Yeah, there's an ecological, like... warning
yes.
behind that story.
Yeah, sort of. Mm. Well, I'm making, like, deductions here. It's not in the text itself, but you can make that...
logical
you,
leaps.
You can see how it gets to that point. But it would... A long time ago, well before the 300-year invasion happened to go, 300 years ago, it would have it set up a satellite
mm-hmm.
To house these Danans that it was going to take from that planet. And then it would have taken those people, it would have... It couldn't control those people. For whatever reason, the biology was different
mm-hmm.
because they're not from that world
mm-hmm.
and it couldn't mind control them. So mm-hmm. they had to brainwash them, and it had to use its own people to... It modified the people in whatever way it did, it's unclear, and then it brainwashed these people into thinking you are different
mm-hmm.
and it did that for several generations
mm-hmm.
and it bred these people on this place, but there's not many of them. It's always made clear that there are not many Renans. I mean, they always think they have a whole planet of them, but that planet turns out to not be a real thing. So it's always thought that, you know, this satellite, you know, it's just a small percentage of the population.
I totally understand. They got brainwashed. And then they just sent
those ships from the satellite 300 years ago. to conquer, like, this planet.
But how does these people 300 years ago have magic, but their biological, you know, counterpart, which is essentially genetically the same as them, don't have magic?
They all had magic. The way they picked the people, that is gotten into. The way they picked the people that they were going to take and alter is that they were going to take the people that were the most gifted.
Right.
And so, like, they set up that society, that, like, Renan society, in a way that is, like, your proficiency with magic is everything that matters. You will be one of the five lords if you are the most best with magic.
I understand. It's like, so, like, the Renans are the Americans, the satellite is, like, Guantanamo Bay, and the Middle East is, like, Dana. And the Americans went to Dana and picked up the, you know, the most elite terrorists, put them in Guantanamo Bay, fucked up the country, and then went to Guantanamo Bay. Now the Americans have, like, just gone extinct, and these Guantanamo Bay people have gone back to Afghanistan or the Middle East, and they're creating caliphates. And they're ruling over the Middle East as overlords.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable interpretation of it.
Yeah. There's a lot of non-listeners that's probably going to blow me up, I suppose. Yes, I understand. I am listening.
Yeah.
And because they... So technically, they are a bit different. Because they're the most gifted. So everyone can create magic. But they're the ones that, like...
Well, no, they basically wipe the ability out. Like, it's believed that nobody on... Dana has magic. There's only ever one person you see with magic on your planet, and that is the girl in your party.
Right.
And it's like she was a mage, and like her whole family was living in secret, teaching her magic, and then they all got wiped out as well because they got
found. Okay, does the game go into detail about what her parents' magic was? Like, were her parents also, if they touched each other, then...
No.
Okay, so her parents touched each other, obviously, to make her...
The thing that is...
Yes.
The thing that can't... Like, nobody can touch her, that is the will of the other planet. It's complicated, but it effectively gets embedded in her due to, like, weird shenanigans.
Yes.
That planet was trying to absorb your planet.
Okay, so... Coming back to our Islamic Caliphate terrorist... example, America has gone extinct, but the Skynet of the US of A still exists, and Skynet for some reason can broadcast, like, you know, invisible electromagnetic waves onto random people of the Caliphate ex Guantanamo Bay overlords. And this electromagnetic...
I don't think you're going to get a logical real-world example of, like, the spirit of the other planet embedded itself.
No, you gotta fucking listen! And the head caliphate dude, he has, like, a chip that was implanted 1,000 years ago, and he still lives. And this chip essentially can receive these electromagnetic signals and shit. And with this chip, it gives him both, like, you know, like, in various powers, but also controls him in a sense. And that is...
No.
Okay.
Not really. Like, the thorns don't give her any powers. She can use magic because she's a Renan. But, like, the thorns is just a detriment. It doesn't...
Well, what is the thorns?
Curse where she can't be touched.
What do you mean she can't... As in thorns will just poke out of her?
It's described as thorns because it has, like, a purple, thornish-looking appearance when it happens. So, like, the air crackles with a purple-black energy, and it kind of has the appearance of thorns. And later, it literally has the appearance of thorns when it's...
And she's born with this ability, which is willed in by the dead planet.
Not exactly how it happens, but she is born with the ability.
Right.
Like, it's a generational thing. Her, like, ancestors would have had it. Which leads to the question... How the fuck there was, like, somebody had sex with this person with this unbearable pain It's just like a man of...
Well, I'm telling you, this is a story about the evolution of porcupines.
Sure. I mean, a little bit. It never addresses it, but like the
how do porcupines fuck? Let me ask you this. Like, Byron.
I know. But like the...
I just don't know, to be fucking honest.
It's meant to be like a... Like, that's the porcupine's curse, right? They like huddle... They want to huddle together for like warmth and closeness, but they can't physically do it.
Oh, porcupines do that, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a porcupine. It's known as like the... It's like the porcupine dilemma or echidna dilemma or something like that, where they cannot do that without causing...
You know, after this, pain. I might just look up some... like, literally figure out how porcupine breed, because it seems impossible.
Yeah, your character is like 300 years old, so it makes sense, like... They're like special people, basically. It makes sense why he's old, sort of. In the context of the story, it makes sense why he is who he is and why he can, like, not feel pain, etc. It doesn't really make sense why she exists and has this power, because it's explained that, like, 300 years ago, they, like, got him and, like, one of her ancestors, and they tried to do this ritual to, like, funnel energy into that dying planet, and that's why she got cursed, because the planet itself kind of entered inside her. Like,
wait, so she's cursed, and the five overlords are also cursed, right? So they also have...
Only she is cursed. She's the only person in the world that's like that.
But so no one else has magic?
They have magic, they're not cursed.
Oh shit, so what is her magic?
I'm throwing water spells.
Okay, so they can cast spells, and then she has also a
curse. This is like, her thing is unusual. She is the only one like that. And it's because they did this ritual, and like the person doing it, her great ancestor, saw like the will of the other planet, the great spirit, and how it was trying to destroy other planet.
Yeah.
And she like broke the connection, which like, she like contained it in herself and then broke the connection. So then, like, several generations on, like, her great ancestor is still cursed with that same thing.
But surely there must be a narrative use for this, right? Like, is she special for a particular reason? Like, is she, like,
she was
princess?
She was, like, compatible with, like, the guy in, like, the ritual. But, like, it doesn't get into, like, that she specific...
Have you finished the game?
Yeah.
Okay, so even at the end of the game, there's nothing special about her. Like, for why she had the
curse. Like, her ancestor?
Yeah.
Why she was a good fit with, like, your character and, like, no. It's just, like, she's shown to be a good person. She was chosen. It's not clear why she was chosen.
Do you think it's because there are female players of this game and she appeals to certain female players? Like you have seven players, right?
It wasn't her.
What do you mean?
It was her ancestor.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, like...
You need to have female characters.
Yeah, I mean, this game is to serve the market, right? So yeah, and you tell me that you can pick whomever you want to pick to play, to be your main character, right?
Yeah.
So obviously this seven must serve the market, and maybe the market, you know, these games, they've done so much psychological research and all of that of their market. It's like, maybe each one of these characters are targeting a specific type.
I don't think so.
No.
I think that would be the commercialization part, pushing into the art part. And I think they made the characters they wanted to make, and they told the story they wanted to tell. I don't think the like commercial bean counters, we need to have this kind of characters, probably had much impact on like the characters and story. I don't think they were sitting there looking at targets and demographics. I think they were just like, it's an anime game, so we're having anime characters in it. The fuck you talking about?
I don't think so, man. I think, you know, these are multi-million-dollar games. Like, people sit down and really think about these things.
Generally, these games are made very, very cheaply. This one's kind of an exception.
Right.
I mean, not very cheaply, but...
Like, cheap. You know, they must sit down with the marketing team and think about these sort of stuff. You can't just randomly make shit.
They're not randomly making it, but, like, you don't need... It's not random. This stuff is what's popular. There's no... You don't need to... When a game is made, you have a project, like a folder, and you will, you know, you have to pitch that to get it made. The company that produced it, Bandai Namco, has to give you the money. The studio itself, it doesn't have any money. It's just like the movie industry, where like you might have a writer director that wants to tell the story, but you need a studio to pick it up
to fund it.
So it's the same situation, and you do need a pitch. But, you know, none of these characters are...
How long do these games take to, like, make?
This one was an exception. This one took about 5 years. It's been about 5 years since the last Tales of game. But that is the exception.
I feel like if it took 5 years, you would have thought about
it. It did not take 5 years.
Oh, right.
But, like, it's just been a long time since the last one. Because they had kind of been... 7 o'clock. They've kind of been pumping the games out for a while. Like, usually they're on, like, a probably 2 year turnaround.
Yeah.
Like, they were making them real fast. Because they didn't have huge production values.
You gotta keep talking for a couple of minutes whilst I sort some of the shit out.
Okay, well, I can talk about the monetization and how I probably won't buy one of these games again.
I am listening.
Okay, so, because I always talk about monetization because I don't like it. So the Tales of games have a lot of,
Like the ka-ching thing?
Yeah, there's no gacha or anything like that.
Right.
But there is, like, the games have been, as the games have been going on, they've been trying to monetize them more. And so this one, the day it was released, you could buy levels and you could buy experience boosts and things like that, but more importantly you could buy skills that your character has, so like, and costumes. So the games typically have a lot of costumes for the characters,
so you can buy skills, so you can buy magic.
Yeah, so there are spells in the game, for example, that you do not get as your mage character
unless you buy it.
They're attached to a costume. So that, and they're like, you have to buy the costume and then we'll unlock that spell for you. And it's total horseshit. It's like, it's pretty indefensible that they're like cutting kind of content out of the game to sell it to you at like launch day. Like, it's not like they were working on this separately and then...
Does this game cost anything to play?
Yeah, it's like, it was like $90. It was fucking expensive.
Yeah, but not like a monthly fee.
No, okay, most games don't do that. And this is just single player game. Like, that online fee is very, very uncommon in games.
Right.
For any kind of single player thing like this, it's no fee for it. You just buy the game. And ideally, when you buy the game, that gives you access to all the content. But you'd have to spend, like, I think $140 to get, like, all of the skills in the game because they're attached to all these costumes. And, like, the other part is, like, there's usually, you know, a lot of costumes for the characters. It's part of the fun of the game is, like, you can see in a lot of those screenshots, like, the characters look really different because they all have different costumes. So part of the fun of it is that you can dress them up and make them look silly because there's like a bunch of different outfits you can just unlock throughout the game. But they just like didn't really give you any in this one and instead sold them to you separately. And that's pretty shitty as well. They've been doing that for a while. Like they did that in the last game, which was called Berseria, which is another one that people actually really liked.
Yep.
I didn't like it very much, though.
I thought you said you did like it.
I liked Vesperia. Vesperia is fantastic.
What was that one you said?
Berseria.
Oh, my fuck. Okay.
Yeah, up until recently, they all ended with Aria.
Oh, right.
Like Symphonia. Oh, no, not all of them. There was Tales of the Abyss. But Vesperia, Berseria, they had that ring to it for a while. They ditched it every now and again.
Right.
But that game also, like, launched with a bunch of costumes you could buy. But the costumes weren't attached to skills. All the skills were in the game. They weren't holding that stuff back. But Berseria also had tons of costumes in the game, so it didn't feel too bad that they were selling them to you additionally.
How much do these, like, a costume cost? Like, $1, is it?
No, it's more than that. I don't know, I didn't buy any. It's probably, I'm going to say, like, $15 for three costumes.
But the thing is, you said $140 will give you everything.
That's like the ultimate edition. And that will like just throw everything in it, which is like $50 more. Did you know, half the cost of the game to get the costumes that you should have anyway and all the skills that you should have anyway.
Okay, so actually the game costs $140?
Yeah, I didn't pay
that. And if you pay $90, you get...
You get the game and some of the stuff removed that they're trying to sell to you later.
Yeah.
So like, my metric was going to be, because I spoke to also my brother, because my brother likes Eve Games, and he liked Berseria, and he was like, Berseria had those costumes at the start. The game launched with costumes that they were trying to sell you, but there was a ton of costumes in-game, so it was okay. If there was less costumes in-game, it would be a problem.
Okay.
But in this game, there are costumes for the two main characters, and then there's a couple generic costumes you get for every character. which is like everyone gets.
But would
like,
you be fine if it was just paying money for costumes rather and like let's say everyone has the same skills?
It would be more fine. It would be more fine.
But you're still not perfectly fine.
It's if the number of costumes in the game was like reasonable, then it would be fine.
Okay,
but
what happened if the costumes were not designed by the game maker but was
hired by an outside studio?
No, just let anyone in the public just design games and dresses, whatever. You know, people do that nowadays where they let, it's like a platform where they let
but
players.
But this isn't one of those.
Yeah.
It's not like.
But if it was, you'd be more fine with it.
No.
Oh, fuck.
Like, not if I'm paying, $90.
Yeah.
I shouldn't feel like I'm not getting a good experience in the game because.
What do you mean pay fucking $90? Like, I mean, like, $90 might be a lot or might not be a lot. Like, who the fuck knows?
It is a lot.
How do you know?
Because I pay for video games.
But, like...
relative to other games, it is a lot. It's about as much as they can possibly charge someone. For, like, just the game, not,
like... for 90 hours of fun, it doesn't seem that much. It's, like, literally a dollar an hour.
Well, no, but it's, like, you have to measure it against, like, You have to measure it against...
Yeah.
The stick I'm using is the stick that is the other games.
Right.
So, like, for example, there's... So, like, the character that I play, the chick in the armor there, the third photo on the left.
This one?
Yeah. Yep. That's
she looks like she's in a female knight, a female Joan of Arc.
Yeah, she's a guard. She was probably, I think, the better character in the game, the best character in the game.
Right. And did you know that, or did you just pick her randomly?
She had a big shield, which I thought was...
That's not a shield, man. That's a fucking fish.
Yes. She is not holding the shield there. She is fishing. Anyway.
Okay.
You are correct that that is a fish and not a shield, though. 10 points.
Okay. I meant to... Yes. I can't...
Her shield is real fucking big. You'd know if it was the shield.
Right.
It's like twice the size of her.
Well, you'd be pointing at her and saying she's holding a shield the whole fucking time.
No, she has a shield as a weapon. Her shield is literally magic.
Right.
And she like calls it in when she needs it.
Right. But she is not a...
It's technology, technically.
Yeah, she doesn't... She's not magic.
It's not magic, but it's, like, the easiest way to describe it because it's high-tech stuff. But it's just, like, she needs it, so she pulls it out of thin air.
Man, but I'm starting to learn a lot about this shit.
The point is...
Yeah.
So, like, what I cared about was, like, well, how many cool costumes can I get for that character? How many costumes in total can I get for that character? So, there's a couple of generic costumes that look the same on everyone.
Yes.
So, there's, like, a farmer costume, a chef costume... and a towel costume. Everyone can wear like those costumes.
A towel?
Yeah,
just like a towel. Toga.
No, just like a towel.
Bathroom towel.
Yeah, like I stepped out of the shower and out of towel. Because it's a joke thing. Like I said, you could dress your characters up silly. Like the farmer's outfit is like these goofy looking overalls.
Right.
And like a chef's outfit, it's like you can play through the entire game looking like a chef for whatever reason.
No, that's pretty cool.
Because you can do it. It's fun. Yeah. So then it's like everyone gets those outfits. So like how many outfits does the character that I play get? None. She gets zero.
Like, she just has the armor, that's it.
She has the armor, that's it. She has a couple recolors. Like, she has that armor, and then there's, like, a blue version, a red version, and a black version, and then that's it. So, like, that outfit there that he's wearing, that's one of the extra outfits for him.
Right, so for those non-listeners out there, there's this dude with a eye patch over his half his fucking face.
It's Alphen before he gets the armor.
Yes, and he has this, looks like a blue bra.
It's a shoulder thing.
And then he has this white business shirt with belt buckles as buttons.
And he has like a fur thing on his side.
And he has a fur skirt, but looks like he's being sort of like assaulted.
I think the
skirt, and so half the skirt is missing.
I think the fur skirt is actually just like a...
And then he's pairing it with cargo pants.
I think it's a fur coat. Like a fur, like...
Right.
Just like a fur.
Yeah.
Not fur anything. I think the point of it is that he's got those bags there.
Right.
And it's probably just supposed to... So that you run, you don't have the bags banging against your leg. That is what I saw when I looked at it.
Right.
But also, it's probably just there to look cool. That's probably the real whiz. But the point is...
Yes, of course. And he has a... elbow injury.
Yeah, like those two characters on the right, they had plenty of costumes.
Right.
Nobody else had any costumes at all.
So then why were you pissed off that your character didn't...
Because she didn't have any costumes. I didn't want to run around in a towel. I wanted to have some cool costumes.
But you could just restart the game and play someone else.
There aren't. I mean, I didn't. I don't need to restart the game. You can swap at any time. You can control anyone at any time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just picked the character that I liked and wanted to play.
And then the computer will figure out how to operate the other characters.
Yeah, the AI just does the other ones. No, badly, I might add. Badly. The AI's pretty bad.
You can't expect everything.
You can get that character, and you can get that costume for that character.
This doesn't even look like the same game.
Yeah, but you got to pony up money for that costume.
Right. And how much is this costume?
I have no idea. I'm going to say $15.
For this fucking costume?
Do you remember when we were talking about Genshin Impact?
Yeah.
And Genshin Impact gave out 2 costumes to the characters.
I don't know about this shit. Yeah.
So they introduced they didn't have any costumes, but then they said, we want to make more money. So we're going to introduce a beach event, and we're going to put 2 characters, we're going to give them different costumes.
Man, I would pay to take the clothes on, not put the clothes on. Yeah.
So they gave one of the beach costumes for free.
Yeah.
And then you had to buy the other costume.
Yeah.
So that costume in Genshin Impact was $30.
Really?
For a costume.
Hey, look.
That's absurd, by the way. That's not reasonable pricing under any...
Well, the market obviously is willing to, you know, accommodate for that shit, which is really fucking crazy.
Yeah, because... enough. Like, you could buy multiple very good games for that price.
Yeah, you can also... Yeah. You can do a lot of stuff for $30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You can
feed a family of 4. Probably not. Probably,
fly to Moldova or whatever.
It sounds made up.
Moldova?
Yeah.
Have you watched Eurotrip, the film?
I have when I was like a teenager. Why is that relevant? Is that?
Yeah, because he has like one US dollar and he thought he was totally fucked, and then he ended up in a country like Moldova.
Oh, and he was super rich or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything about it. I remember for
one US dollar, he bought a hotel and he bought like. Just like a bunch of bitches.
I remember this. The only thing I remember about that is like they get drunk at a club and they drink like green alcohol.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing I remember.
Oh, Wormwood. Yeah, that was... Yeah. What's that drink called? But yeah, it's a blue drink.
Absinthe?
Absinthe, yeah.
It's green, isn't it? I've never had it. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's blue. It's a blue greenish bottle.
Hmm.
Or maybe I'm wrong, but what color it is exactly? But in my mind, it's blue greenish. Yeah. Okay, so all right.
Those costumes you can get if you pay money.
But really, does it really fucking matter whether they have fucking costume or not? Like,
what matters is like the stuff that was in all of the other games and is not in this one,
right?
And is being sold separately,
right? Oh yeah, you're right. They're wearing different clothes all the time.
Yeah, but like, so it's that they're sold separately, but ready at launch. So it's like it's on the disc. If I go and put it in my PS5, the costumes are there. I'm just paying to unlock them.
Wait, so you have a PS5, PlayStation 5?
I do, but I didn't get it on PS5. I got it on PC.
You have a PlayStation 5.
Yes.
You have a PlayStation 4.
I gave it to my brother.
You have a PlayStation 3?
Yes.
You have PlayStation 2?
Yes. I have had all of the PlayStations. I had 2 PlayStation 4s.
Why? Why would you need 2?
Because they changed it to a pro model.
What the fuck is this?
It's just like fan art.
Oh, is that the thorns?
No, those are bullets. If you type...
Like, so for those... Oh, man, I can't even trying to describe this.
He's looking at a racy photo. Yeah, keep clicking on related images of that. That'll lead down a nice rabbit hole.
What the fuck is this shit? No, that one, this one is mysterious.
That's not mysterious, it's erotic.
I don't know if it's erotic.
That character is fucking mooning us right now. I don't know what...
I mean, there's nothing naked about this, so I don't know if it's erotic.
She'd but it's it anyway.
Yeah, but it's tens towards.
Tens towards.
Tens. It's like
if that position was in real life.
I'll say we were either. We're probably at a German section.
I'd say German section.
Yeah. German sex shop.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah, like, that's halfway to missionary right there.
Oh. But she's not the girl that you can't touch.
That is the girl you can't touch.
Oh, that makes sense now. I get it.
But that's just fan art. That's not how she looks in the game.
Oh, right.
Like, she's not that sexualized in the game.
Right.
Like, she is sexualized. All the characters are sexualized to some degree. Even the males. But, like...
Yeah.
They don't go that full on with the sexualization.
But I don't actually see such a big problem with the sexualization of these things. Like...
No, I don't...
So long it's not, as I say, like, it's not super addictive.
So, yeah. I'm generally like, hey, people like fan art. They or like fan service. So... If it sells, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for this shit.
The problem is sometimes it's off-putting.
If it's... For whom, though?
I could be a girl. So, my point of reference...
But just don't look at it. What the fuck?
So, my issue here was like... I'll get through this and then we'll wrap it up.
Right.
My point of reference for this was I was always on the like, I don't care, it's fan service, who cares? Give them big tits and short skirts. I don't give a shit, right? And do whatever to the guys.
Yeah, give the people what they want. Oh my god, actually.
Oh, your god, actually?
No, as in, No, you...
Yeah. So, I played a game called Dragon Age, and it had a character in it that was designed entirely for female fan service.
What does that mean?
It was just like, he was there to, like, make women swoon, let's say. Like, he was just there to, like, pander to a certain demographic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's yes.
And it was immediately obvious why this character was there. He was like, you know, edgy in that certain way and had that certain look about him.
Yeah,
it was very obvious why he was there.
Yeah,
but that character was like really, really off-putting. Like, really, actually took a lot out of my experience in that game because of how distracting that character was in how he was implemented in the game.
But I understand. But you didn't have to play the game, right?
Like, no, was it... Like, it was an otherwise good game. Yeah. There was just this one character in it.
Yeah.
Who was, and that was where I sort of had my perception on it change, where it's like, oh, I guess this is what women are complaining about when they see, like, this kind of sexualization on women. It's like, it's not just, like, look away. It's when it's like, no, this character is sort of an unavoidable part of the game, and it really does take you out of it. Like, because there's an equally, like...
But you don't have to play that game, right? You don't have, like... But not just that. It's... You have... They have every right to have players that don't like the entirety of their game, right?
Yeah, but I have the right to criticize the writing on that character.
You have absolutely the right to criticize, but you don't have the right to, like, just tell them to... Like, your right is to protest, right? Yeah, but you shouldn't be suing the company.
I'm not trying to say don't make those games. I just said, you know, make your short skirts and big tits, whatever.
Yeah.
But I can see why people will find it off-putting. Because it has happened to me. Because there was a character that I was like... Because there was a character with a short skirt and big tits in that game. And I was like, oh, this character's fine. Like, I don't see what the problem... What are people complaining about? She's like a pirate-themed character. She's meant to be a sexy character. And then I saw, like, this edgy emo kid. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe there's a point to be had there that people can find their stuff off-putting. So, like, I don't think people are saying... Okay, now people are sometimes saying remove that stuff. But back when this game's pretty old, back when I was playing it, people were just saying, like, yeah, these characters are dumb a lot of the time.
I don't know if it makes... I don't know. I think... I feel like we're getting back to the original topic, which is something I'm very, very interested in, which is, where is the boundary? Or is there a boundary, you know?
For anime girls?
I mean, you can put it that way. I mean, but I'm being serious, which is like, someone goes out and makes a product. It could be a film, it could be art, it could be a novel, whatever, right? We talked about this. Books used to be super fucking dangerous.
This just comes down to where, like, this is where the bean counters come in. It's like, okay, we want to have, like, at that point, you're not talking about artistic integrity. You're just talking about...
What are you on about? Like, naked women is artistic.
Sure, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about pandering. Talking about fan service.
I don't know what fan service means.
Pandering. It just means pandering. It means, like, fan service is in, like... It's a term that comes from, like, anime, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, it'll be like, this anime is really fan service-y because it has a lot of upskirt shots or characters in skimpy clothes, things like that. Always girls.
But... That means people like that stuff.
Sure, but we're hitting this point where, like... Society is pushing back on a lot of that stuff. Blizzard recently updated a bunch of stuff in World of Warcraft to remove a bunch of revealing women like paintings.
Yeah, but no, I understand. So, but they're doing it because maybe the majority of the fans say that that is not a good thing, right?
No, they're doing it because they're being sued by the state of California over sexual harassment.
Sexual harassment? What? Why are they? Who are they sexually harassing?
Their employees.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's a totally different thing, right? Like that game
but
content.
That's why they're doing that change, though. It's that's dumb, but like there are mandates at Sony as
yeah.
to what kind of sexual content you can put on their platform.
Yeah.
That are very strict.
Yeah.
So like, if you have a racy photo.
Yes.
So like a racy. Do you know what a visual novel is?
It's a visual novel is a novel with visuals.
Sure.
It has graphics, has pictures in it.
It's sort of a story that you play through that you don't. Sometimes you make choices. Sometimes they're on a rails where they're just telling you the story and you're just clicking through the dialogue. But the point is, because they're anime, they kind of started in like a porno game area.
Yeah.
Back in like the 90s. So they still make and have a lot of that aesthetic. The point is, when they put some visual novels out on like the Sony platform, because Sony is going into a wider market, they force them to censor the images. So they'll have like a girl in a bikini or something like that, and it'll have like a white light that's, you know, meant to be like a beam of sunlight that just like covers up their chest and crotch probably from off screen.
Say it again.
Type in a PlayStation 4 anime censorship or something like that. Will show you kind of what I'm talking about, because it's difficult to describe. It's basically just like, it's just a picture that they have decided. Okay, so there was a scene in Devil May Cry 5, which is an action game, that one of the characters at one point, I think she transforms or something like that, but she ends up naked. You don't see anything, and I think it like cuts away, like there's no nudity or anything, like there's maybe a butt or something like that, like really really mild stuff.
Uh-huh.
But to avoid this on the PlayStation 4 version, not on the like Xbox or PC version, just the Sony version, they put like a light like at her crotch.
Yes.
So that it like shone behind, so that you can't see anything behind her, so you
which
can't
only
see
emphasizes
her. But it means you, but it means you can't see her backside. It means her like crotch is glowing for whatever reason, but you're seeing it from behind where there's just this fucking light coming out from like
on her leg.
Yeah. Between her legs, which is like hiding the
but doesn't that just spot. Like emphasizes
it just looks dumb is what it does.
Okay.
It just looks like weird because there's a light coming out of her crotch.
You know what? I reckon like well, I think half the problem is if you do this sort of shit, you know what? If everyone is naked, we wouldn't have these type of fantasies and all that. That's what I reckon. It's either,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
That's what I reckon.
I mean, that's.
I was in a nude beach after 3 days. I had enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to a nude beach.
Exactly.
Like just because, like I don't know, why it doesn't seem appealing.
Well, I think if you want to have a fantasy of like.
If everyone's naked all the time, it's like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the solution, man.
Everyone get naked?
I think so.
Okay.
Rather than this whole bullshit thing. Like, oh man, there's so many standards. It's impossible standards for people to follow and for us to expect out of society.
It's because people have different standards. Like, I don't care if you have your big tits and short skirts in video games or anime, you do whatever.
I think if everyone was naked and there was one girl that was like, immaculately dressed, maybe like short skirts, whatever, you know, everyone will go, that is the devil. That is the devil, right?
Are you getting like,
and,
you're getting a bit biblical here, right?
Okay, that's not the devil. That is like the most sinful shit.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like meant to be
but actually, she's dressed more than all of us.
Yeah, that's the point. That's like Eve.
Oh, right. She yes. Okay, okay.
The apple and realized, oh, my shame.
Right. Yeah, I think it's worth talking. Maybe on Friday we should talk about what is the correct standard. Because do you remember we talked about this Ghost in a Shell,
mm-hmm.
right? Ghost in a Shell, and I think she got naked, right, in
yeah.
the river
or in the sea?
I think she was wearing like a skin tight suit. I don't think she was actually naked.
But she can be invisible, right?
That's why, because she wasn't just invisible because she was invisible. She was invisible because she's wearing like a skin tight, like light reflective suit. I don't think she was actually naked. I think there is nudity in that movie. I don't think that scene she was fighting nude.
Right. Okay.
But I can't quite remember. At the very least, I remember in the Scarlett Johansson one.
Yeah, I'm confusing the game with the fucking anime thing, but I'm talking about, like... Sorry. You know, that... I mean, I think... Okay, maybe that's not the right way of putting it. Like, there's fucking naked fucking, you know, marble, Roman, Greek statues everywhere. Naked men... Naked women.
I've seen museums censor those like marble statues. I remember a while ago there was a thing where like people were like,
yeah,
they were taking schools through and they were censoring like statues of David.
You know, the most fucking sexually provocative thing is like Michelangelo putting that fucking leaf over, you know, the statue of David's, you know, ding dong. Mm-hmm. I gotta call
very,
it for today.
Very, very eloquent.
That's the thing, right? If I call it ding dong, suddenly I'm somehow painting it as like a word you can't say. But if I were to go, you know, I'm just beep.
I mean, I've said like big tits and short skirts like, 3 times, so I think you're okay to say dick.
But yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I fucking don't get like it. The standards don't make sense to me. How can we have like fucking marble statues of men and women, and both men and women will say, "Oh, that is artistic." And suddenly we have these...
Because you have a lot of people that say that isn't artistic. You have people that say, there are children around, we need to censor that. We need to put a little undies on it.
Oh, man. Like, grow the fuck up, right?
I mean...
It doesn't make much sense.
This is America, basically. This is America.
Yeah.
Like, America is pretty fucking puritanical with this stuff.
Violence, yeah, so it becomes worse.
Yeah, violence is okay, but like that's a very church-driven
when you deny people that
country.
Sort of shit. Yeah,
but yeah,
especially with like this arbitrary line, you're really just this, you know, essentially denying people arbitrary shit, and it's very very difficult for people to like you literally can't have someone conform to one rule without breaking another sometimes. Right, let's say, all right, I'm very very respectful, I don't want to fuck respectful. Like, if you're respectful, you let people do a lot of this sort of stuff. It's not being respectful, it's being just an asshole. Anyways, I think we gotta finish up.
Yes.
I haven't finished learning about the Tales of Phantasia. Oh, sorry, Tales of Arise.
There's nothing else to learn,
but
it's getting good reviews, and I don't think it's great.
Yes. So to all the people, non-listeners out there, Byron's score for Tales of Arise is 2.5 stars out of 5.
That's 2.
Okay.
It would be a 3 if...
We start at 3, now we're at 2.
No, it would be a 3 if it didn't have the selling
right.
skills and costumes.
Right.
There's other bullshit that it gets into with that selling stuff as well, but
yeah.
It's somewhat whatever.
No, I mean, this is a perfect example. Like, you can sexualize a game and doesn't necessarily mean people are just going to enjoy it more. And this is a perfectly good example. You give it a 2 out of 5.
The game's not sexualized.
Oh, right. Well,
I'm going to say the game's not sexualized. It's just anime.
Okay, well, I'm not too familiar with it. When I saw those images, I just thought, I have much to learn. Okay, my name is, what is my name? Joe Delicious, I'm your favorite DJ, aka Gun.
Bang.
Bang. And then with me is our historian, game historian, Byron. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.